Amen. God bless you, Linda. Thank you for leading us this morning and sharing that song and the message of that song. If you have your Bibles this morning, let me invite you to find Mark chapter 8 and verse 13. Mark chapter 8 and verse 13. I want to share a message with you this morning entitled, Is One Loaf Enough? Is One Loaf Enough? So if you were here last Sunday morning, you heard and saw on the pages of Scripture how the Pharisees asked Jesus for a sign. They asked Jesus for a sign to show or to demonstrate that he was God or was approved by God. Now, the odd thing about that question is that we looked back in Mark's gospel at no less than 14 miracles, instances of supernatural that the Pharisees had either experienced firsthand or they had heard about because of the people that were involved. And yet, they asked Jesus, give us a sign. Show us that you're God or you're sent by God. And Jesus essentially said to them, no. I'm not going to give you another sign. Now, if you'll remember, we read in Matthew's gospel that Matthew included the words of Christ that said, I'm not going to give you a sign except for the sign of Jonah, which would be the resurrection of Christ. But that would be in days to come. And so if you'll remember, because of this experience, because of this dialogue between Jesus and the Jewish religious leaders of the day, the Pharisees, Jesus was not happy. He was not happy. He was perturbed. He was even angry because the reason that the Pharisees didn't believe is because they didn't want to believe. They had seen the miracle. They had heard about the miracles, but they didn't want to believe. And so you'll remember we left off last Sunday morning, Mark chapter 8 and verse 13, with those first four words, and he left them. Now, this is not the sermon for today, but ladies and gentlemen, brothers and scriptures, can I just say to you as it relates to this dialogue with the Pharisees and Jesus' response that you should not presume on the patience of God? Let me say that again. You should not presume on the patience of God Almighty. And here's why. It will come to an end. We know that God is omnipotent. He is all-powerful. His power will never cease. It will never come to an end. We know that God is omniscient. He is all-knowing. His knowledge will never come to an end. We know that God is always good. He's omnibenevolent. His goodness will never come to an end, but he's not omnipatient. His patience will come to an end, and we would be right not to presume on his patience. And so, brothers and sisters, if you know what to do, if you know what God wants you to do, and yet you are choosing not to do it, i.e. being disobedient, you shouldn't presume on God's patience with you. Ma'am, sir, if you're here today and you've never put your faith or trust in Christ as Savior and Lord of your life, you have said, no, I will not answer that call to salvation. Please don't presume on God's patience any longer than today. If God has brought you here today, He has brought you here at the very minimum to hear this statement of good news. Jesus died on the cross for your sins. And He wants to have a saving personal relationship with you. And so please don't presume on God's patience any longer, because we don't know when His patience will end. But it will end just like that. Jesus left the Pharisees. And this morning, we are going to pick up in Mark chapter 8 and the rest of verse 13, asking and answering this question: is one loaf enough? So if you have found Mark chapter 8 and verse 13, I invite you this morning to stand in honor of God's word and follow along in your copy of the scriptures as I read through verse 21. And Jesus left them, and getting into the boat again, departed to the other side. Now the disciples had forgotten to take bread, and they did not have more than one loaf with them in the boat. Then he charged them, saying, take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, it's because we have no bread. But Jesus, being aware of it, said to them, why do you reason because you have no bread? Do you not yet perceive nor understand? Is your heart still hardened? Verse 18 is a verse that I was referencing a moment ago. Having eyes, do you not see? And having ears, do you not hear? And do you not remember? When I broke the five loaves for the 5,000, how many baskets full of fragments did you take up? They said to him, 12. Also, when I broke the seven for the 4,000, how many large baskets full of fragments did you take up? And they said, 7. So he said to them, how is it you do not understand? Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Help us to understand this morning the message of your word and its application for our lives. Lord, unlike the disciples possessed, we ask and pray that this morning you would give us eyes to see and ears to hear and a heart that's receptive to your word. And we ask and pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, and you may be seated. So looking at verse 13, Jesus left the Pharisees and getting into the boat again, departed to the other side. Departed to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. Verse 14. Now the disciples had forgotten to take bread. This may be because they decided to leave rather quickly, because Jesus was perturbed, because he was upset, because he was angry about being asked for a sign again, even though he had already given so many signs previously. Perhaps this is why the disciples had forgotten to take bread. And it's not that they had forgotten to take bread. In their opinion, they wondered, have we taken enough bread? Have we taken enough bread for our trip, for our journey for the day? Verse 14 says, and they did not have more than one loaf with them in the boat. And that, again, our question for the morning, is one loaf enough? Is one loaf enough? So here are some action points, if you will, from this morning's text and my message to you. First of all, beginning in verse 15, we are encouraged, as are the disciples, to reject the ways of the world. Reject the ways of the world. Verse 15, Jesus charged them. And in the language of the New Testament, it says not only that he charged them once, but literally he charged them again and again and again. He repeated his message to them. What was that message? Essentially, reject the ways of the world. What was it specifically? Verse 15, take heed. Literally, watch. Recognize. Beware. Be on guard. Pay attention to the leaven of the Pharisees. Or your translation may say the yeast of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. Now, we spoke about the Pharisees just a moment ago. We're going to give our attention to them again at this point. But remember, essentially, what is Jesus saying? So, in the first century and before, when making a loaf of bread, just a little amount of leaven or yeast could be used for the entire loaf to rise. And more often than not, when we see this picture in the Old Testament or the New Testament talking about leaven, it's in this negative context. Beware of the leaven. Because Jesus is not talking literally about the leaven of bread. He's talking about, listen to this, the evil influence, in this instance, of the Pharisees and Herod. And this evil influence, though it may be small, has far-reaching implications and consequences, just like a literal ingredient of leaven or a literal amount of yeast. It may be small, and yet it can cause the entire loaf to rise. The evil, the influence, it may be small, but it may infect the entire body, whether that be a literal body or a spiritual body. Jesus says, beware of, watch closely, be on guard of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. Now, what was the leaven of the Pharisees? What was the leaven of Herod? In this context, one word for you this morning, unbelief. The leaven of the Pharisees, the leaven of Herod was unbelief. But how did they get to unbelief? That's what we want to see this morning. How did they get to unbelief? How did they get to the point of wanting, or in their minds, needing more signs to confirm who Jesus was? Well, if you go back, hold your place here in Mark chapter 8. And if you go back to Matthew chapter 16, this is Matthew's version of this story. And in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 12, Matthew says, then they, this is the disciples, then they understood that Jesus did not tell them to beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine, or the teaching, literally, of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Well, not to go back and to re-preach those sermons of days gone by, but just to remind you this morning, the doctrine or the teaching of the Pharisees and the Sadducees was legalism. It was legalism. It was elevating the preferences or the traditions of man to the same level as the authority of God's word. That's legalism. It's adding to God's word. It's fine for us to have opinions. It's fine for us to have preferences. It's fine for us to have traditions on saying such as translation of the Bible we use, how we dress on Sunday mornings to come to church, what songs we prefer. It's fine to have opinions, fine to have preferences, it's fine to have traditions, but understand they don't carry the same weight, the same authority as God's word. And we cannot add our opinions, our preferences, our traditions to God's word, or else we're guilty of legalism. So legalism, it shows its ugly face as it relates to salvation. When we add to God's word, you have to be circumcised in order to be saved. That was the message of the first century, oftentimes from the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Or in the 21st century, there are those today that say you've got to be baptized to be saved. That's legalism. Because you are adding to God's word. Legalism shows its ugly face as it relates to salvation and then also sanctification. You can't be sanctified. You can't be more like Jesus if you read another translation than fill in the blank. You can't be like Jesus if you dress this way to come to church on Sunday morning. You can't be like Jesus if you like those songs instead of these songs. That's legalism. Because we are adding to God's word. And so legalism had led the Pharisees to unbelief. But there's also something else that led the Pharisees to unbelief. Turn over to Luke chapter 12. Again, holding your spot there in Mark 8, but Luke chapter 12 and verse 1. The Bible says, in the meantime, when an innumerable multitude of people had gathered together so that they trampled one another, Jesus began to say to his disciples, first of all, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. Well, we've heard that previously. We heard that in Mark chapter 8. But notice he explains the end of verse 1, which is hypocrisy. So not only was the leaven of the Pharisees legalism, but it was also hypocrisy. Well, what does that mean? It means talking out of both sides of your mouth. It literally means wearing a mask. You are a different person on Sunday than you are Monday through Saturday. It means that your walk doesn't match your talk. You can talk a big game about how holy you are and what a super Christian you are and how much you love Jesus. You know what? Talk's cheap. How does your life reflect how holy you are and how much you love Jesus? Monday through Saturday compared to Sunday. For the Pharisees, they put on a great show. They loved God and they wanted to live holy lives. And yet, their heart was far from God. They were living in hypocrisy. And hypocrisy eventually led them to unbelief. So again, the leaven of the Pharisees, legalism and hypocrisy. Well, what about Herod? Remember back in Mark chapter 8, Jesus said, "Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod." One word this morning to describe the leaven of Herod: immorality. Immorality. Turn back just a couple of chapters here in Mark's gospel, Mark chapter 6, beginning in verse 14. Now King Herod heard of him, and his name had become well known, and he said, "John the Baptist is risen from the dead, and therefore these powers are at work in him." Others said, "It's Elijah." Others said, "It's the prophet, or like one of the prophets." But when Herod heard, he said, "This is John, whom I beheaded. He has been raised from the dead." For Herod himself had sent and laid hold of John and bound him in prison for the sake of Herodias, his brother's Philip's wife. For he had married her. So Herod had married his sister-in-law. Verse 18, because John had said to Herod, "It is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife." He was living in immorality. His relationships were not pure. They were not holy. And that may be true of you this morning. If you are living in immorality, beware of the leaven of Herod, because immorality will ultimately lead to unbelief. So when Jesus says, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod, he's reminding the disciples, don't give in to legalism. Don't give in to hypocrisy. Don't give in to immorality. Because even though we may think, oh, it's just a little bit. Just a little bit. That won't hurt. Remember, it's like leaven. And it's evil, and it will influence your entire life and ultimately lead you away from Christ. And so the message for us, the message for them: reject the ways of the world. But here's a second action point, beginning in verse 16. Remember how God has worked previously. Remember how God has worked previously. Verse 16, and they, the disciples, just right after they had heard this message to reject the ways of the world, they reasoned among themselves, saying, "It's because we have no bread." Literally, it's not that they had no bread, it's that they didn't have enough bread. Because remember, they had one loaf. Jesus is telling us this, they're thinking. Jesus is telling us this because we don't have enough bread. But Jesus, because he was fully God, and he is omniscient, he knows all. Verse 17, but Jesus, being aware of it, said to them. Now, the different translations may say something different, but as far as the New King James Version goes, which is the version that I'm using this morning, and also the version that you see on the screens behind me, there's a series of 9 questions. 9. Count them in your Bible. You may just have 7 because the editors put the punctuation points at different places. but nine questions Jesus uses to chastise the disciples. Why do you reason because you have no bread? Do you not yet perceive nor understand? That's number two. Is your heart still hardened? Number three. Having eyes, do you not see? Number four. Having ears, do you not hear? Number five. And do you not remember? Six. And then Jesus reminds them. He reminds them of two miracles that the disciples were there. He used them to accomplish these two miracles. When I broke the five loaves for the 5,000, and remember, it was 5,000 plus, how many baskets full of fragments did you take up? Question number seven. And then he reminded them of another miracle. Verse 20. And when I broke the seven for the 4,000 plus, how many large baskets full of fragments did you take up? Question number eight. And then question number nine, verse 21. How is it you do not understand? I mean, you were there. We are prone, brothers and sisters, to remember the bad more than we remember the good. That's what we do. And I believe that the devil has a first-hand part in that. You don't remember all of the times that your spouse was loving and kind and got you. You just remember the one time they raised their voice to you. You remember the one time they didn't do what you asked. You remember the one time they talked about you in public. We are prone to remember the bad. You remember that one bad sermon instead of all those good sermons. You don't remember. Can I encourage you this morning, brothers and sisters, that we need to remember all of the ways that God has worked in our lives? And for some of you, you may just simply be able to do this mentally. For others of you, you may want to write them down. And I would challenge you, if you need to write them down, do that this afternoon. Do that tonight. Write down some very significant events in your spiritual walk with the Lord. Because the disciples, you know what they're guilty of here? They're guilty of not remembering. Because if they would have remembered, they would have been easily able to answer the question, is one loaf enough? So this morning, for me personally, I can remember, and I'm not saying that you have to remember date and time. Some of us will, some of us won't. That's not the most important. But for me, April the 2nd, 1985 is when I answered the call to be saved through the ministry of First Baptist Church in Venus. And on Easter Sunday, 1985, is when I was baptized, First Baptist Church, Venus. And I can remember the summer of 1994 when I answered the call to vocational ministry at First Baptist Church in Alvarado. And I can remember that college year of 94 and 95 that the Lord used a man who not at the time was my college minister, but who would later become my college minister, to give me great godly biblical wisdom and advice about taking a minister of youth position at First Baptist Church in North Zulch. And then it was in November of 1997 that again God used a man that I didn't know that well, but would later become a very, very dear friend of mine, to lead me to begin serving at Hampton Road Baptist Church in DeSoto for almost 2 years, where the Lord graciously and mercifully crossed my path again with my bride-to-be. And then it was in 1999, the fall of 1999, that God used His Word and spoke to me so clearly in the Psalms that I want you to be a part of Baptist student ministry. And did that for about 14 months or so. And then, 2000, fall of 2000, November of 2000 specifically, God said, I'm moving you from Baptist student ministry to First Baptist Church in Forney. And serving there for 5 years. And I can remember so clearly, simply because this was the most recent, how on September the 11th of 2014, God made it abundantly clear to me that my time at First Baptist Church, Camden, Arkansas, was done. And then in November of 2014, made it abundantly clear that God was giving my family and I an opportunity to return to Texas. See, that takes some intentionality. We're prone to remember the bad more than the good. But yet, if we take the opportunity, we go back and we think all of the ways that God has worked in our lives, that we would be able to answer the question that the disciples were having to answer. Is one loaf enough? Which leads me to the last action point of today's text and our message. Recognize that Jesus only saves and satisfies. Jesus only saves and satisfies. Remember, again, it's not that the disciples didn't have any bread. The disciples didn't have enough bread, or at least they were wondering if they had enough bread. But if you don't hear anything else I say this morning, brothers and sisters, please hear this. As long as your one loaf is the bread of life, you have more than enough. Let me say that again. As long as your one loaf of bread is the bread of life, then absolutely, one loaf is more than enough. I want you to listen to these words of the Lord Jesus in John chapter 6, verse 35. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. And he who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. And so you may be here this morning, and spiritually, you're starving to death because you don't have the bread of life. This morning, my invitation to you is to come. To come and receive Jesus as Savior and Lord of your life. And receive, by receiving Him, forgiveness of sins, heaven, and eternal life. In just a moment after I finish praying, I'll be here standing at the front. Brother Ronnie will be here standing at the front. And all across the auditorium, you will be standing and singing during our time of commitment. And if you're here this morning and you don't have the bread of life, today I would invite you to come. And let me also remind you what God's Word says as it relates to faith. So often we are prone to this unbelief. We We have just a little bit of legalism. We have just a little bit of hypocrisy, just a little bit of immorality, and it's moving us. It's creeping closer and closer to unbelief. And yet, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 says, "But without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, that God is, and that he, God, is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." We've got to reject the ways of the world. We've got to remember how God has acted and worked in our lives, and then recognize that only Jesus will save and satisfy. For my brothers and sisters here this morning, you're a follower of Christ, and you're wondering, is one loaf enough to change your family? Is one loaf enough to change your marriage? Is one loaf enough to get your business on track, to get your finances on track? Is one loaf enough when it comes to raising your children in the 21st century? As long as that one loaf is the bread of life, yes. That one loaf is more than enough. But remember, without faith, it's impossible to please him. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me this morning? Just a few moments after I finish praying, again, I'm going to invite you to stand to your feet. I'm going to invite you to join Brother Chris in singing this morning our hymn of commitment, our song of invitation. And we're going to invite you to respond publicly to God's word. And that may mean for you coming to Jesus for the very first time. That may mean simply you here coming, kneeling here at the front, committing your marriage, committing your family, committing your finances, your business, your parenting, whatever, unto the Lord, knowing that Jesus is more than enough to satisfy you fully and completely. Again, if you're here this morning and you've never trusted Christ as Lord and Savior in your life, I will be here at the front ready to welcome and greet you. Brother Ronnie will be here at the front ready to welcome and greet you. We will celebrate with you, we'll counsel with you, we'll pray with you. But our invitation will be for you, and I invite you to respond appropriately. Father in heaven, thank you that one loaf is enough when that loaf is your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, the bread of life. And so, Lord, would you help us this morning personally and congregationally to reject the ways of the world, to reject unbelief in our lives, to beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. And Father, would you help us remember all of the ways that you've worked in our lives, how you've drawn us to yourself, how you've provided in difficult days, how you've guided and directed us when we were in desperate need. Lord, remind us today of how you are provider, sustainer, healer. You are our good, good Father. And again, Lord, my prayer this morning is if those are here this morning who don't know Christ as Savior, that they would call upon the name of the Lord for the very first time to forgive them of their sins and call upon you to save them from their sins and from the wrath of God on their sins. Father, we trust you to be at work in our midst. And we ask and pray this in Jesus' name. Would you stand very quietly and very reverently to your feet? As Brother Chris comes to lead us this morning, today I invite you to respond to God's word.